Hallelujah. We're going to go to Luke chapter 17. I preached on Friday night at a revival, and I preached out of the same chapter, but I'm preaching, amen, farther into the chapter tonight, or this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Going to a different place. We're just keeping me in this chapter. Amen. We're going to go to verse 26. Amen. Again, we're glad to have everybody today. Welcome, amen, to each and every one of you. And I love and appreciate all of you. Amen. But we're going to get into the word. Luke chapter 17, we're going to begin at verse 26. All the words of Jesus. Everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming, in the days of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed.
Yeah.
In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen. We're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord a shout of praise for his word today. Come on, let's bless him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the great I am, amen, the Lord, who does the impossible, hallelujah, 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 praise God, amen. You may be seated this morning, amen, if the Lord will give me, amen, let me honor you one more time. I want to minister on this thought: don't get stuck. Don't get stuck. Look at your neighbor and say, don't get stuck. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. At the beginning of this conversation, in Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Amen? He is speaking about the coming of the kingdom and the time of the Son of Man. Jesus is reiterating to them and giving them, amen, a picture, praise God, just a little insight of what it will be like, amen, for those that are here during the time, amen, that is close to his return. Let me just say right here, I believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, hallelujah. But as he is telling them, amen, and giving them a little insight about the coming kingdom and about how it's going to be when he is revealed in the coming of the Son of Man, he says in verse 32, he doesn't ask them a question, amen, you know, you can ask someone, do you remember when this happened, or do you remember when that happened, amen. Jesus didn't ask, amen, a question. He made a statement right in the middle of what he was explaining to them about what it was going to be like, and what could be expected, just a little insight, amen, but some of the great, amen, witnesses of what we could expect when we begin to see some of the things that Jesus reiterated, but he simply said in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. It was a statement. He didn't ask them, do you remember Lot's wife? It was a command. Remember Lot's wife. Amen. Now you say, what would it be? Why would he say, remember Lot's wife? Well, we have to now go back to Genesis chapter 18. Amen. Amen. Where we find Abraham in the tent. Amen. In his tent in Mamre. Amen. The Bible says that as Abraham was in his tent, that three angelic visitors came to Abraham's tent. Amen. And they showed up, and the Bible says that Abraham bowed to the ground. Amen. To welcome them into his tent. The Bible says that Abraham ran and got a calf to give to his servant. Amen. To get milk and to prepare. The Bible says it was a tender calf. Amen. And so he went. We would call that veal. So he went to, amen, prepare veal for, amen, these three angelic visitors. Then the Bible says he ran to Sarah, his wife, and he told her, hurry up, make haste and make some bread, because I've got some visitors in my tent. Amen. And the Bible says that as these angels sat and ate, amen, and visited with Abraham, this is when they spoke to Abraham, and they told him that God was going to give him and Sarah a son. They said, this time next year, in this season, we're going to come back and visit you, and God is going to give you and your wife, Sarah, a son. Now remember, they were of age. They were in their 90s. Amen. They were elderly. Amen. I'm 60 and can't imagine Luann coming and telling me, I'm pregnant. You would have to, I don't know, you'd have to do something, call a prayer meeting, something. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because, hallelujah. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. But it was in their old age. And this is where we know that infamous story where the Bible says that Sarah overheard the angels, these messengers telling this to Abraham. And the Bible said that she laughed in herself. And she thought, me get pregnant? I'm too old. Yeah. Yeah, right. Amen. And the angel, God spoke through the angel to Sarah and said, we heard you laugh. Amen. She said, I didn't laugh. They said, yes, you did. He said, amen, because you thought, amen, that it's too old, but is not anything impossible with God. Hey, come on, hallelujah. Amen. The angel said, nothing is impossible with God. And if God said it, he will do it. Oh, come on, hallelujah. That's a good place. That's right. Amen. We need more than two or three. Let's double that, triple that. Amen. Quadruple that. Put your hands together. Amen. And give the Lord praise, because nothing is impossible with him. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what your brother's doing, doesn't matter what the enemy has put in his mind, doesn't matter how, amen, he's come against him, God is able to take it and turn it around. Oh, come on, somebody, and bless him in this place. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord, and I'm trying to lay a foundation. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, hallelujah, that day that Abraham released them and they were getting ready to leave. But the Bible says they lingered and they looked toward Sodom. Amen. And they said, should we tell Abraham what God is about to do? Oh, come on. And then the Bible says in Genesis 18 that Abraham was faithful, and that he was the father of many nations. Amen. And going on about how that from him was going to come. We know that Sarah did get pregnant. She had Isaac. Amen. And Abraham eventually was willing to give Isaac back to God. Hallelujah. But amen, they said, should we tell Abraham what God is about to do? Should we tell him what's getting ready to happen? And the Bible says they begin to tell Abraham that the outcry, amen, against Sodom and Gomorrah was great because their sins were serious. Amen. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were very serious. And God said the outcry was great against them. And they said destruction is imminent if their deeds warrant such destruction. Now, for a minute, we need to go back a few chapters in Genesis to chapter 13. And in chapter 13, we find, amen, that Abraham and Lot were separated. Lot being Abraham's nephew. Now remember, Abraham was called out of his own country to search for a country, amen, whose builder and maker is the Lord. Amen. And but in Genesis 13, we find that Abraham and Lot are being separated. God told Abraham, said, look to the north, south, east, and west. You can have any of this. I have given all of this to you. This is your inheritance. But the Bible says that Abraham, hallelujah, let Lot make the first choice. And scripture tells us that Lot chose a man of the well-watered plains of Sodom. Lot looked out and he chose a man to pitch his tent at Sodom. Now what you got to understand is that the men of Sodom were already doing exceeding wicked things. Amen. The sin that was rampant in Sodom was already in an exceeding level. But listen, Lot chose to pitch his tent towards Sodom. Why? Because it was already economically prospering. The looks and the view of Sodom, who had plenty of water, it was a man, a very well populated a man place, and it was a sign of economic prosperity, the ease of living. When it looked out over the plains, a man Lot saw that Sodom was already well taken care of, and so he chose it for the ease of living. And then the Bible says that the men left Abraham and they went towards Sodom. Amen. But the Bible says that Abraham stayed in the presence of God. I thought, oh, that I could preach right there. When you get devastating news and you find out that things, amen, are taking a turn for the worse, it would be easy to walk out of the presence of God. But Abraham stayed in the presence of God. And the Bible tells us that Abraham began to intercede for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now remember, this is where Lot, his nephew, and his family dwell. They live there. So when he got the news from the angels that was imminent upon Sodom, that cry that it came to God, God was going to go forth. And if the, amen, if the sin warranted it, destruction was coming. So this is where, amen, Abraham, he begins to cry out, amen, and intercede, not for Sodom, but for the people of Sodom. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. He asked God, he said, would you really sweep away the righteous because of the wicked? In other words, would you really destroy all of Sodom and Gomorrah if there were righteous people there? Would the righteous really have to suffer for the sins of the wicked? He said, would there be, what if there were 50 righteous? God said, if there were 50 righteous, I would spare it. Abraham said, what about 45? God said, if there were 45 righteous, I would spare it. Amen. Abraham said, what about 40? God said, if there were 40 righteous, Abraham, I would not destroy it. Abraham said, what about 30? God said, if there were 30, then I wouldn't have to do what I'm doing. Abraham says, okay, what about 20? What if there were 20 righteous? God said, Abraham, if there were 20 righteous, then I would. Abraham said, I don't want to make you angry. I'm not trying to get you upset, but God, what if there were 10 righteous? God said, if there were 10, I would spare it. And Abraham stopped praying. Abraham stopped praying. See, the Bible tells us that Lot, his wife, tells us that he had two daughters who were unmarried. It also tells us that Lot had daughters who were married because he had sons-in-law, that is plural. So we know that that Lot had at least two daughters who were married. So we had two who were unmarried and had to have at least two, amen, that were married because he had more than one son-in-law. Hallelujah. Now, if he just had four daughters, two unmarried, two married, that would mean there were eight in Lot's family. Now, he could have one more daughter, amen, who was married, and that would make 10. I believe Abraham knew how many people was in Lot's family. Hallelujah. And he stopped, amen, at 10. Praise God, because, amen, he knew, amen, how many there were. And so the Bible, amen, that now, amen, as the two angels went to Sodom, we preached before or taught in Bible study, amen, it's interesting, there were three angels that visited Abraham, but only two went from Abraham's tent to Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, but two of those angels went to Sodom, and the Bible says, we're now back in Genesis 18, and the Bible says that Lot was sitting at the gate of Sodom, and when Lot saw the angels, he did the same thing Abraham did. He said, amen, he invited them to his house, amen, and he said, we'll fix you dinner, we want you to come, amen, to my house. And they said, no, we're going to stay in the streets tonight, amen, but Lot insisted, amen, that they come to their house, amen. So he said, I want you to come and spend the night. Well, the Bible says, amen, that the two men, I say men, they were angelic beings, amen, but they were in the form of, amen, of men. We don't know exactly how their appearance was, amen, but the Bible says that they went into Lot's house, amen, to spend the night. And as they were inside Lot's house, the Bible said that the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, young and old, they came and surrounded Lot's house, and they began to yell for Lot. They said, we saw those two men that went in your house. We want them to come out because they wanted to have sexual relations with those men. You see, one of the rampant sins in Sodom and Gomorrah was homosexuality. Amen. It was at an all-time high. Amen. Also gluttony and also cruelty. There was a lot of things going on. But we see that even the young boys, amen, were participating in, amen, same-sex, amen, relationships. And they wanted those two men. So that tells us that those two men stood out. Amen. Those two men were no doubt well-looking. Amen. But they surrounded his house. Amen. And they said, bring him out. We want these two men. Amen. But Lot went out the door. And the Bible says that he shut the door behind him. And he begged them to go away. He begged them to leave. But they refused to leave. It was then that Lot offered those two unmarried daughters. He said, I have two virgin daughters. I will give them to you. You can do with them as you will, if you will leave. Amen. They didn't want the girls. They wanted the men. Come on, somebody help me. Are you with me? Hallelujah. As it was in the days of Lot, marrying, giving in marriage, eating, drinking, building, living like there was nobody to be accountable to, living like they were in the days of Noah, like they were in control of their own lives, seeking to get wealthier and bigger and better. Does it sound like anything that we can can see today, it's right where we are. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. And then the Bible says that they tried to break down the door. Now keep in mind, a lot is still on the outside, and they're now trying to break down the door. Those spirits inside of them that were driving them made them angry. But the Bible says that the angels opened up the door to Lot's house. They grabbed Lot by the hand, snatched him on the inside, shut the door before any one of those men could get in, and struck them, everyone, with blindness, and they couldn't find the door. Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? Sin does not have to have dominion over your life. Oh, somebody better help me. Jesus, amen, the blood, the wonderful blood has taken dominion over sin. God, Taylor said it well. God gave her peace. She had to receive it. If you're sitting here today and you're struggling with sin, amen, and things in your life, I'm here to tell you, God is here to shut the door on the enemy. I said he's here to shut the door in the face of the enemy, because Jesus said, I am the door. Oh, somebody help me. Can you imagine demon spirits surrounding your house, but they can't see how to get in? That's what the blood does. So here's these men driven by the lust of their flesh. So much so that they're angry when all of a sudden now they can't even find the door. They're running over top of each other and they have no choice but to leave. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Anybody in the house got the blood applied to your life? If you do, you better shout for a minute. Began to speak to Lot. And they said, if you've got any family, to get them and get ready to leave. So if you've got any family, get them and leave. The Bible says that Lot went to his sons-in-law. And he said to them, God's getting ready to destroy the city. We gotta leave. We gotta flee. And the King James says in Genesis 18 that his sons-in-law thought he was mocking. But to put that in Hebrew terms, they didn't take him serious. So they thought, oh, he's just playing around. He's just joking. Now, we can throw that on his sons-in-law as well. There should be some weight on them. But I was thinking this morning that this tells us something about Lot's spiritual condition.
Yeah.
How many of you have got a lost loved one? Tell me, and hopefully you have enough confidence in me as a believer, as a Christian, but if I come to you and told you that God's getting ready to destroy your city, get your family, and get out, or that lost loved one came to you and said, I feel like God's getting ready to destroy the city and we need to move out, who are you going to take the most serious? Are you hearing me? Why wouldn't you take, amen, the unbeliever? Because you have no confidence in their ability to hear the voice of God. So this tells me, amen, that even though Lot recognized those angels and honored them as holy from God, he did not have a life that reflected enough for his sons-in-law to take him serious enough when he came and said, God said he's going to destroy this city. Can I tell you, moms and dads, especially dads, get your house in order. If your children and your grandchildren can't take you serious in your relationship, if they see you half-heartedly and they hear you speaking and doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, hallelujah, you better get your house in order, because as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. Because it's coming whether you recognize it or not. And while there's an opportunity, somebody help me today. So now morning has come, and the angels are telling Lot, hurry up. Hurry up. Get your wife and your two daughters that are here in this house. So those were his two virgin daughters. His two daughters that were unmarried were in his house. They still lived at home. And the angel said, get your wife and your two daughters that are here and get out. But the Bible says that Lot lingered. I love it because the complete Jewish Bible says he dallied. My mom used to say, quit dilly-dallying around and get yourself in here.
Right.
And you that have family from Kentucky or West Virginia, I'm sure you've heard that before. Yep. Don't dilly-dally around. You say those kind of things to the kids, and they're like, what's that mean? Sometimes you got to be like, I don't know. My mom used to say some things, and she even said the hillbilly slang wrong. And so it wasn't even the right words in the Hitler terms. And so it didn't even make sense. You just knew what she meant. But the Bible says that he lingered. It's important that you see that today. The Bible says he lingered. How many has ever told your child to come here? Stay up with me for a minute, son. You're old enough. I'm old enough to be your dad. I'm proud of that or not, but it is what it is. But you tell them to come on. Now, I'm a firm believer. Don't stand there for 10 minutes and say, come here, come here, come here. After a couple of times, you get in there and you snatch homeboy up. So that's what the angel did. The angel said, Lot, get your wife and two daughters. Let's get out of here. Lot lingered. Not sure why he lingered, whether he was contemplating his other daughters or his sons-in-law or looking at everything that he had built and all that he had done. I don't know, but the Bible says that the angel did this. Come on, I said, you got to get out of here. And they took him by the hand, his wife and his two daughters, and they began to lead them out of Sodom. Oh, somebody help me. Hallelujah. They had them by the hand. Thank you. And they led them out of Sodom. Hallelujah. But listen, amen. And they said, we're leaving. And they said, don't look back. Amen. Don't even look back as we're leaving. Don't even think about, amen, looking back. Amen. Praise God. And listen, they led them outside the city. He said, they said, don't look back or anywhere in the plain. Don't stop anywhere. So in other words, amen, we ain't letting go. So don't stop, because if you stop, we're moving. We're not going to stop. Amen. So they said, don't look back or stop anywhere in the plain. Now the Bible says, hallelujah, he said, they said, let's escape to the hills. Now, we know Lot said, I don't want to go to the hills. I don't want to go to the mountains. Amen. Can we go over there to Zoar? Amen. Which means small in the Hebrew. Amen. And the angel was like, okay, we'll just go over there. But we gotta hurry up. This thing is getting ready to happen. Amen. And Jesus said in verse 29 in Luke 17, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and it destroyed them all. Brimstone is sulfur. How many's ever smelled sulfur? It burns. It's a terrible smell. If you've ever smelled boiled eggs after they've been contained, that's kind of a sulfur smell. If you've ever smelled a sewer or a septic tank, that's kind of a sulfur smell. Amen. Amen. Sulfur is a bright yellow crystal when it's in, amen, when it's at room temperature. It becomes an amber color, amen, when it is hot. And when it begins to melt or burn, it becomes toxic. Amen. So you don't want to breathe it in. You want to cover, amen, your mouth. So this is what came down out of the sky, out of heaven. It rained fire and brimstone. And when that brimstone, amen, met with that fire, it began to release, amen, that smell. Sin sinks. Can I tell you that? Sin sinks. You can cover it up. You can try to put perfume over it. You can try to gloss it over. Amen. But sin is, why does it sink? Because it's death. But the Bible says that as the angels had them by the hand and were leading them out of Sodom and Gomorrah, that Lot's wife lingered. And she turned and looked back from behind Lot. So Lot was in front of her. I was thinking about that. The Bible says that she turned and looked back towards Sodom from behind Lot. What if Lot was behind her? He probably would have tried to save her. He probably would have said, don't look, turn your head, no. Or he might have turned and looked himself. We're talking about grace and mercy. So he was in front of her. And I believe that his daughters were as well. I might be wrong. It really doesn't matter. The point is that as the angel had her by the hand, pulling her away from destruction, she turned for a moment and looked back. She lingered. And the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. She became like a statue. Yep. See, she wasn't judged by the fire and brimstone. But when she looked back, she was pulverized. So the fire and the brimstone that destroyed the whole city and the people in it didn't judge her. It was when she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. She was pulverized. She became what Sodom was known for. She literally became that which she longed to have. That which for whatever reason she was hesitant to leave behind. Sodom was in so many miles geographically from the Dead Sea, and so There's a Mount Sodom that is a mountain of salt. And so, you know, they say now archaeologically, they say, thank you, Holy Spirit, they say that that they believe that Sodom had an abundance of salt, amen. And so, you know, if that's the case, then she literally became what Sodom was known for, amen. And so, out of all the women in the Bible, Jesus only said to remember one. Now, the ancient Jewish wisdom teaches that her name was Ado, which translated into English as Edith. So the scriptures don't really tell us her name, but out of all the women in the Bible, Jesus says, remember this one. Especially in the times preceding the imminence of his second coming. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's life. Now, when we look at the Hebrew in the book of Genesis, when it says that she looked back, that literally translates, that word looking means to regard with pleasure. So we get an idea of what she was doing. And when it says that she looked from behind or from the back, amen, when she looked back from behind, in the Hebrew, that word back is to loiter or procrastinate. So, looking back means she was regarding what was behind her with pleasure, procrastinating what she knew she was supposed to do. She didn't want to leave. Now, I can procrastinate on some things, and I know some really severe procrastinators, some in my family, that procrastinate, put off. You say, what's procrastinating? It'd be put off the inevitable. And for some reason, we think it's going to, like, go away, or it's going to be easier if we wait, but it's not. We put it off because it's something that we're dreading to do, or something that's going to take a lot of time, or something that's going to cause issues. Anybody ever not procrastinate? You haven't, then God bless you. And so she was loitering. She was procrastinating, looking back, regarding with pleasure her life in Sodom. And can I tell you, when we linger, we start longing for what we are supposed to no longer be lingering in.
Well, yeah.
Are you hearing me? If you didn't, I'm going to repeat it. When God is speaking to us, or we know that we should be moving in a different direction, when we linger in that place, we start longing for what we are supposed to no longer be lingering in. So when you stay longer than you're supposed to stay, or you regard with pleasure looking back at everything that happened in that place where you are, the longer you linger, the more you start longing for what you're supposed to walk away from. Are you hearing me? The more that you start having the desire to stay in that place and the very thing that God is trying to move you out of, you now find yourself longing for that which you're not supposed to be lingering in any longer. Are you with me today? What does the word linger mean? I found this interesting. It's defined as to be slow in parting, to remain in existence although waning in strength. So when you linger, you remain in that place, but all the while you put it off, all the while you linger, your strength to move forward begins to wane away. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't know who the Lord's talking to today. Hallelujah. Here's another, amen, one of the definitions of linger, to remain alive, although gradually dying. Amen. When I saw that, that comes from the dictionary, not the Hebrew translation. So to remain alive, amen, while, hallelujah, you are gradually dying. So if you're not careful, you are going to find yourself frozen in time. You are going to stay in that place for so long that you're going to find yourself in a place where you are frozen, just like Lot's wife. She was now frozen in time and would be forever remembered as the one that God gave an opportunity for deliverance and for breakthrough and for a better way of life. But because she looked back, amen, and done so, thinking about what was and not sure about what was going to be, she became frozen in time. Hallelujah. And there are some of you today, amen, that you're longing for something that once was. God has got something better for you. The circumstances and the situation of the place that you're lingering are not favorable, and they're not the best. But God says, this is not where I want you to remain. I am giving you an opportunity. Oh, somebody hear me. To come out of that. And I want to show you just how faithful that I will be. But the longer you linger, the harder you're going to become. The longer you linger, you're going to get frozen in time. Are you with me? All the while you may be living, but gradually you're dying. You're longing. She was longing for something that once was. Longing for that is no more. Thinking never again. Never again will I be able, feeling like she was missing out on something. Not knowing, listen, they could not take anything with them. They moved there because they could prosper. They chose Sodom because of the probability of a good future. And they were leaving with nothing. So the dread for the future, think about that. Not knowing what was going to happen. They could take nothing with them. So many people strive and work to acquire stuff and to get to a place in life while God is pulling them to greater. But they have to leave behind. What did Jesus say before he told them? When he was speaking to them, And he said in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What did he say before that? He said, when that time comes, if there's some that are on the roof of their house, they won't have time to go down in their house and get their stuff.
Right.
He said, if they're in the field working, they won't have time to run back home and get their stuff, because that stuff has no value.
Right.
Come on, somebody. So he said, remember Lot's wife. She did the same thing. And she missed yearning or longing for the past. See, the enemy will get you stuck in a place, and you'll look back at your past and you'll say, oh, I kind of wish I was back there. I miss that. See, you don't think when you get saved that it's possible to miss your sin. But if you stay in that place and get stuck when God's trying to pull you, you'll find yourself longing for the pleasure of that sin in the past. If nothing else, the feeling, especially when it involves relationships and people and things and stuff. God was trying to prepare and trying to spare Lot's wife from destruction. I don't know, maybe she was mourning her daughters and sons-in-law that were left behind. But think about this. The Lord literally had her by the hand. So we wait for God to say move. God was like, quit dilly-dallying. Let's go. What are you saying around for? I told you, there's peace beyond this battle. I told you there's healing in my name. I told you there's joy in exchange for your sorrow. I told you there's hope beyond what you see. I told you that nothing is impossible with me. I told you that I am your healer. I am your provider. I am your righteousness. I am your everything. I'll be your doctor, your lawyer. I'll be everything that you need. There's nothing in the past that can help you. I'm ready to pull you out of here. Somebody said, I feel stuck. I come to tell somebody this morning, you don't have to be stuck today, because I believe the Lord has come to take you by the hand and say, what are you waiting for? What is it that you're waiting for? Quit looking back and longing for what you had. I know you may not know what's ahead. You may not know the future, but I got you by the hand. The Lord Jesus, I would that he come take me by the hand and just lead me wherever he's taking me. Come on, somebody. I gladly let him take my hand. But instead, he's saying by faith, take one step at a time. Don't linger where you are, because you'll begin to look back at what's already happened over the last 27 years. And you'll be like, what about this? And what about that? Or I wish it was this. Or I wish we'd have done that. Or I wish we hadn't done that. If you linger in that, you're going to find yourself stuck. And you're going to be frozen in time. But you just got to keep moving and trusting and believing. And don't get stuck. Don't get frozen in the moment of your season. But know that God is a God of new beginnings. He's a God of breakthrough. He's a God of the supernatural. Jesus up. But listen, God is not going to lead you into a place where he will not sustain you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord literally took her by the hand. Can I tell you that people God is trying to deliver will be tempted to turn around and look back? Some of you in here, God's trying to lead you into deliverance. Whatever deliverance looks like, that's not the point. The point is he's trying to lead you out. And you just keep looking back and thinking, considering, and wondering. God has sent me this morning to tell somebody, don't get stuck.
Amen.
He has got a promise and a plan for you. The Lord spoke this to me this morning. I had to think about it for a minute. Remember we told you that. The fire and the brimstone did not judge Lot's wife. Her looking back. He judged what was behind her. And the Lord spoke to me today, and he said, I'm judging what is behind you. Now for a minute I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Right? We hear the word judge and we're like, right? But the Holy Spirit began to sort it out and make sense of it. God was saying that he's judging everything that I need to leave behind in this season because it's served its purpose. It's finished for what he provided it for. And if I stay focused on what was, I will become stuck in where I am. So I'm not going to linger in this place. Are you hearing me? He said, I'm judging what is behind you. So don't look back longingly as if, or what if, or why not. But look back and know that I've judged everything that you have done. I've judged everything that has been. And I have decided that this is where it ends. And now I'm taking you into a place that you don't know what it looks like. But if you will trust me and not linger in all of the emotions and all of the feelings and all of the spiritual stuff, if you don't look back and wish you could take that from this year and that from that year and this from that season and that from that season, this one from there and that one from this year, if you could go back and do that, maybe it would look different now. But God said, I'm judging what was. Now you have to trust. He's not just talking to me today. He's talking to somebody in this place who's about to get stuck. If I'm not careful, I can get frozen in this time. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Don't mourn what might have been. Don't mourn what you thought could have been. Sure, there were mistakes. Sure, there were things that maybe could have been different and better. But God said, I'm judging all that. What does he judge? The heart. It's the heart. It's the motive that God looks at. And when sometimes our heart is in the right place and we still miss it, but God doesn't God said it's no longer a viable part of your life. And that's what he's saying to us here today. Some of you are lingering. God said, don't look back. I've got you by the hand. And I'm taking you somewhere. Quit dilly-dallying. Wipe yourself off. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. It is what it is. I don't like it, but it is what it is. And it's okay to say, I don't like it.
Right. Yeah.
You're not sinning by seeking your truth. I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you, I don't like this place I'm in. But nevertheless, I'll praise him from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Because I know he didn't call me to like it. He called me to love him. Amen. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Praise God, if you suffer, amen, if you're going to reign with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. If you don't, let it go. Here's the third thing. When the Lord said, I'm judging what's behind you. And it's no longer a viable part of your life. You know what viable means, right? It has no life. It has no purpose. That's how you get like a hamster on a wheel. Moving and going nowhere. And that just makes you tired. Yeah? That just makes you tired. I said tired, didn't I? I'm tired. See what I said? Oh, my God. Just makes you tired. Exist. But remember what linger means. You exist all the while your strength is waning. You're alive, but you're gradually dying. I've never preached from this point of view. From Lot's wife, and when the Lord spoke it to me, I was like, oh, that's going to be hard for people. And it ain't easy. But it's not from the perspective that we would normally preach. But God's telling us, don't get stuck looking back. Because when we start looking back and we start evaluating, that's when our emotions and our feelings and things start working, activating. Holy Spirit activating. I still don't know where that's from. But anyhow, Lot's wife got stuck, literally frozen in time. She was pulverized. And the last thing that he said, third thing, after it's no longer a viable part of your life, he said, it will hinder, possibly suffocate your future. So that tells me it's dead. Are you hearing me? Now, I'm not saying, I know a lot of people who are dead who were good people, done great things, left a wonderful testimony. Just because they're dead doesn't mean that they weren't good. And just because the past is dead doesn't mean that there was nothing good about it. I'm not saying that. God is saying that it will suffocate your future. And every time you look back and linger, your strength is waning. Jesus is coming back for those who are found doing the will of God.
Amen.
Plain and simple. He's coming back for those who are found doing the will of God. And the enemy wants you to linger in the hesitation. I'm going to tell you this. I'm about to finish. I believe. I'm not saying the Lord is saying. I'm telling you, I believe based on things that I'm sensing in the spirit and things that I'm learning in this season, that I believe we are moving into a time where the church of America is going to begin to look different. Church as we know it, it's not going to be the same. And you say, oh no. And so I believe that as God is pulling the remnant into a fresh breath, if I can say it like that, of renewal and revelation, that we can't spend time looking back at the old way of church.
Come on.
Saying, well, I liked that, and I liked it like that, and I liked it like this, and I think that it should be that, and what about? God's telling us, don't get stuck. And so I believe that it's going to look different. And so he needs us on a personal level to not become frozen in time. Look at your neighbor again and say, don't get stuck. As they get ready to come to the music, hear me. We can get stuck in our emotions. We can get stuck in our thoughts. We can get stuck in our attitudes, in our opinions, in our possessions, in our plans, in our desires, in our habits, stuck in our comfort. We can get stuck in our pain. We can get stuck in our wounds. We can get stuck in our relationships. We can get stuck in our past. We can get stuck in our present. And we can even get stuck in our future hopes. We can move forward, and when the future doesn't look like what we hoped, we can get stuck right there in that place. So I want you to hear me as you sing with me all across this place this morning. I hope all of that made sense to you. Say more of what I feel in the spirit later in the future. But as for now, I've heard the Lord this morning. Listen to me. I hear the Lord this morning saying, don't get stuck. Remember Lot's life. We got to be ready and stay ready because Jesus is coming. And as sure as it rained fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, destruction is coming. And God's going to reveal his plan. So as they get ready to worship, if you're here today and you're lost. I will tell you, you're stuck in a vicious cycle of sin. Things are not going to get any better. Eventually, it will take everything you have. So if you're here today, it's a beginning of worship. And you're lost, I want you to consider giving your life to Jesus.